Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Kelly Jean Kelly, Dan Friedel, Ann Ball, Brian Lynn, Dorothy Gundy, and Katie Weaver. Later, Marcia James will bring us this week's People in America report. But first, here is Kelly Jean Kelly.
American President-elect Donald Trump named retired Marine General James Mattis to be his Secretary of Defense this week. Mattis left military service 3 years ago. At the time, he led the U.S. Central Command, which carries out U.S. operations in the Middle East. He was also the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO forces. His leadership in the fight against enemy forces in Afghanistan and Iraq won him respect among many military leaders. General John Nicholson is the commander of international forces in Afghanistan.
I first met him in Nangarhar province in Afghanistan, where we were in a tough fight in 2006, and he's a very inspirational leader. I know he inspired me.
Michael O'Hanlon writes about military affairs at the Brookings Institution, a research group in Washington.
He's thought of as one of the best read, best informed, and most experienced generals of his generation.
O'Hanlon says Mattis knows the limits of military power. He says he believes the former general's battlefield experience gives him persuasive power with Trump. O'Hanlon says, Trump will be more likely to listen to an argument for restraint, for example, if it comes from Mattis. Currently, Mattis is not permitted to take the office of Defense Secretary, however. A U.S. law bans military officers from the position who have fewer than 7 years in retirement. Congress would have to change that law. The 1947 law first called for a 10-year ban, but Congress cut it to 7 years in 2008. Congress has let only one general serve as Secretary of Defense before the time permitted by law. In 1950, Congress voted to let General George Marshall serve as Secretary of Defense. Marshall had been a top general during World War II. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
Abdullahi Mohammed, a former refugee from Somalia, has returned to his country in search of work. Mohammed, now in his 20s, spent many years living in the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya. Now he is one of about 18,000 former refugees who live in the Somali city of Kismayo. He is fixing automobiles and learning how to be an auto mechanic. His training will continue into February. Mohammed hopes to have a better future than other former refugees because he is learning how to do a job. Thousands of refugees are returning to Somalia after living in camps in Kenya. When they were away, some went to school, but many depended on assistance from aid organizations. They did not get a good education or learn how to do a job. At least here, I have got something to learn and do, Mohammed said. There is a concern that the returnees will have trouble starting new lives without the skills they need for a good job. That is why organizations like the American Refugee Council are supporting job training programs. The council also wants to be sure the young men who did go to school in the camps do not join militant groups like Al-Shabaab. Abdi Ibrahim Abdi Barre is the deputy mayor of Kismayo. He is concerned young men with a high school education might be asked to work with chemicals and make bombs. Young people are vulnerable, he said. If they are not provided with the skills, education, and materials they need to pursue their goals, then people will take advantage of them. At one point, the Dadaab camp was home to more than 300,000 people. Most of them were from Somalia. The Kenyan government said it would close the camps, so many native Somalis went home. The United Nations Refugee Agency said at least 34,000 refugees have returned to Somalia, but they do not have much to return to. Many have criticized a lack of jobs and other services. In Kismayo, the American Refugee Council is helping 20-year-old Shafi Ali. He is learning to make window frames. He builds the frames and adds the window glass. At first, he did not think he could do the work. After 3 months of training, the young man said he wants to open his own business and help teach other former refugees how to make windows. Abdullahi Mohammed said that he and the other returnees need to depend on themselves instead of other people. He said they need to forget about how their lives worked in the refugee camp. Abdi Barre said the future of the returning refugees should be a national concern and not limited to aid agencies. Everyone should be involved, he said. I'm Dan Friedel.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel has called for a ban on full-face veils worn by some Muslim women. Merkel announced her position Tuesday at a conference of her Christian Democrat Union in the central German city of Essen. Her comments were part of a speech she gave before her re-election as party leader. In communication between people, which is, of course, essential to our living together, we have to show our faces, Merkel said. She said veils that fully cover the face should be banned wherever legally possible. Merkel's CDU party has previously discussed banning them in schools, courts, and other public buildings. A small minority of Muslim women in Germany wear full-face veils. In the past, Merkel has said she believes Muslims who completely cover their faces have little chance of fully mixing into German society. Legal experts said it is unclear whether a veil ban would violate Germany's constitution. Three European nations, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands, already have bans on the face covering veils. Merkel recently announced she would seek a fourth term as chancellor in elections expected to be held in fall 2017. Her popularity has dropped since Germany decided to accept about 1 million refugees. German public opinion studies show Merkel's CDU party is currently leading among voters. But even if the CDU wins, the chancellor would likely have to form a coalition government with competing parties. The 2017 election will be more difficult than any election before, at least since German reunification, Merkel said. Merkel also faces strong opposition from the anti-immigration Alternative for Deutschland party. The AfD has been critical of Muslim migrants entering Germany. The group recently said Islam is not compatible with Germany's constitution. I'm Anne Ball.
An infographic is a powerful tool that can help explain something. Infographics present information visually and in an entertaining way. This can help watchers, listeners, and readers understand the subject of interest. You can use infographics on social media, in presentations, or just for fun. BitRebels.com says the human brain absorbs ideas presented in infographics 3 times faster than ideas presented in simple text. The easiest way to create infographics is to start with a template you can fill with facts. With most infographic templates, you can add images, icons, and also backgrounds. Infographic websites offer free templates and tools to help you create. Just pick the template you want, then drag and drop items onto the infographic. Many of these sites let you add your own images from a computer. Type in text, choose fonts and colors, then save your infographic and/or share it on social media. These sites make creating infographics easy and free.
PictoChart is a website filled with infographic, presentation, poster, and report templates. Register for an account and get started by choosing an infographic template. The free service gives a limited number of templates. Users can pay for more templates and other help, such as the ability to save in PDF format. PictoChart has a helpful infographic tips page to guide you through creating infographics. An infographic on PictoChart shows free tools to create your own infographic.
Canva is a free design website to create infographics, social media cover images, invitations, posters, cards, and more. Head to the site, register for an account, and click Create a Design. Choose Infographic to find free templates. After choosing one, add background designs, images, text, charts, and more. use Canva's free photos, or upload your own. Many of Canva's elements are free, though some cost about $1. Canva also has a free app for iPhone and iPad to create infographics on the go.
Easily has many free templates to use for infographics. Sign up for a free account and choose a template to get started. Select a background and add text, shapes, charts, and objects to your infographic. Add images from Easily or upload your own. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
On a recent day in New York City, seven women prepare for a theater production. Their show is not for a Broadway stage, however. And the actors are not professional. They are prisoners. They will perform in a gymnasium at Rikers Island Jail. The correctional center sits on an island in the East River. It holds about 10,000 prisoners, most of them with little time left to serve. The performers range from teenaged to midlife. They all look a little nervous, just like any actors might before a live show. But they are ready. These prisoners have trained with the famed Stella Adler Studio. It is one of the most respected acting schools in America. The studio launched the acting program at Rikers in 2014. It hoped to bring some humanity to prison life. Tommy Demenkoff is the studio's outreach director. He says the program is important to the prisoners. They lose a lot of humanity when they come to jail, he says. We are allowed to come in and reinvigorate that humanity. The Stella Adler Prison Program has grown. Today, film and stage professionals train prisoners at 6 Rikers Island centers. They do 8 different programs each week. And several former Rikers inmates now work with the studio on the prison program. The show today is called The Compassion Project. The audience includes about 50 prisoners, correction officials, and invited guests. The crowd shows its support with loud cheers and by stomping on the floor. The Compassion Project combines movement and poetry written by the performers. The poems express the ideas of compassion and understanding between people. Performer Deanna Rett's piece describes her passion to be the best she can be, to love unconditionally, and to let the past be the past. Rett praises what the Stella Adler program has done for her.
It has let me escape to another dimension. It has changed me to be whatever and whoever I want to be, whenever I want to be.
Rett says she would like to work with the Stella Adler Studio when she gets out of prison. She wants to keep writing and improving her writing skills. She says she has hope for the future. The Compassion Project is a hit with the audience. Just as on Broadway, the prisoner actors get a curtain call. Each steps forward to loud cheering from the crowd. Entertainment industry supporters of the Adler program at Rikers include Benicio del Toro, Julianne Moore, and Pauletta Washington. Washington introduced the Compassion Project to the audience. She says the Rikers program is important.
Anybody that can survive this and come out on the other side, just to come out, period, and then to come out with hope, that's somebody we really need in our communities.
I'm Katie Weaver.
I love to create. I'm a very visual person, and I love to paint. I love to express myself doing makeup, special effects, body painting. I also do canvas work and costumes, props. I haven't worked a day of my life. It seems like I love to do everything that doesn't involve a job from 9 to 5. But by the end of the day, I end up working so many more hours. But doing what I love.
That is Athena Z, artist. Her canvas is the human body on which she paints beautiful images. Z is also owner of Athena Entertainment. The company provides performances and performers for all kinds of parties and other events. Body art creation is among the possibilities. Athena Z was born and raised in Ukraine. Her parents wanted her to become a lawyer or a doctor, but she always knew she wanted to paint. She also realized early in life a career in painting would not be possible if she stayed in her country.
I've been painting my whole entire life as I'm thinking about it. Since I was a little kid, everywhere, all of the walls were painted, my notepads were painted, everything, everywhere I could paint, I always did. Like, there's always doodles and in every single book I was reading. I was always creating stuff since I was a little child. Even though I was painting my whole life and it was my passion, but it was only a hobby. And I never really took it to the next level because back in the country that I came from, all the artists were starving artists. So I never considered art as a career because I would never in a million years would be able to make money and be successful at it.
So Athena Z came to the United States. She was clear on her goal.
I came here when I was 14 years old to pursue an American dream.
Athena first worked at a health food store. She began to paint on the store's menu boards. A customer praised her skill and asked if she would help paint faces at street fairs. Athena says it was a good start.
I was doing it for about a year or two, and I'm the type of person that I always like to take it to the next level. It's like, okay, what's next? What's next? You know, I've already done with face painting, now what? And I went to Febeik. It's face and body art convention in Florida many years ago. And I saw that people were doing body painting. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting. It's so much better than just face painting, because now I can do all my art with the body painting as well. And I actually end up enjoying body painting so much more, because it didn't limit my art to just faces, but now I can do body painting. I can create installations with human canvases, which was extremely exciting and actually a little nerve-wracking at first, because I was really nervous in the beginning. I wasn't even 21 back then, I think. And that's how body painting came along. So face painting led into body painting, and body painting led into special effects.
Athena Z says painting on the body is very different than painting on a flat canvas.
With body, you work with a human factor. And it's not only you paints and canvas. It's you paint canvas and the person behind that canvas. When I pick up a brush, it almost like I'm getting into my own zone, in my own little world, my comfort zone. Very, very often my models try to talk to me throughout the process, but it's so hard for me to even keep up a conversation because I'm so focused about what I'm doing, and I'm so inspired that it totally takes me like out of this world. It's almost like a drug. When I paint, like very often I can't stop. That's why doing body painting is actually great for me, because I know that I have to stop at some point because I'm painting on a human, and obviously the model can't stand still for 3-4 days, but I can definitely paint for 3-4 days nonstop if I'm in creative mode.
Z considers the body shape of her models as well as their skin colors. She says the most important part of her work is how it makes the person feel.
When I'm doing a body painting, my goal is not only to create a beautiful piece of artwork, but also, very important, to make the model feel beautiful. Because if the model will feel beautiful with your artwork, no matter how horrendous your body painting can be, she will rock it. And it makes me feel accomplished and happy when I see that the model, my human canvas, is happy with the artwork I created on her.
Body painting is a much bigger project than face painting. Z says it takes 15 to 20 minutes painting a face. A body can take as long as 10 hours to paint, depending on how detailed it is. She has won many awards for her paintings. Her work also has been featured in music videos, publications, and on national television. Z says she is often inspired by nature, fashion, and the world around her when creating her art. And she is passionate about what she does. She says she believes passion should be everyone's professional guide.
If you want to be an artist or an actor or a scientist, you should do exactly that. Follow your passion and do what you love. Don't be afraid to start an industry that maybe some of your friends didn't succeed in, because if you're gonna love what you do, you will never work a day of your life. And you will be so great at it that you will be remembered, and you're gonna be a great example to the rest of the world about that particular art or field that you will choose.
I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.